Yet? Hello? 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 Battery's dead? Oh, that's good or bad?
That's good.
All right. Can you hear me now? How about now?
All right.
I think we're gonna get this yet. All right. Thanks for scaring me, Brother Chris. I was about to run out the doors thinking I had to sing too. And that wouldn't have been good for anybody. But have your Bibles open to John chapter 15. I'm going to be talking about, it's just a little bit of studying I've been doing ever since Brother Brozell was here. It was a real encouragement and really refreshing to see an older guy with such enthusiasm and such joy for the Lord. And I just been studying and really just going through my Bible and looking for anything that has to do with joy, and I want to share that with you guys today. But I wanted to talk about a little bit of testimony from the Shepherd's class up at Crown when I was involved there. It was amazing to, it wasn't a big Sunday school class. We had about probably 10 special needs people there, you know, with forms of autism and forms of like mental retardation and that kind of stuff. And it's just amazing to see what joy those people have in everything that they do. You know, you look at them and they just smile at you, and it's hard not to smile back at them. And that's kind of the attitude I want to have with everyone. You know, like when we go out and we knock doors and we talk to people, they need to see the joy of Christ in us. Because without the joy of Christ in us, why would they even care to wonder or even, you know, come to see what we're all about? And that's just what I want to talk to you guys today about. If you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 11 and 13. And I'm going to be all over the place, so if you need me to slow down, just yell at me or something. Like Brother Brozell says, throw a shoe. But John chapter 15, and I'm going to read verse 11. And it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And then verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And, of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ and his love for us. And he has such a great love for us that he laid down his life for us. But if you look in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And if we allow Christ to live within us, and when we rely on Christ for everything, we're going to have his joy no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what we're going through, no matter if our house is sinking into the earth, we're going to have Christ's joy, and it's going to be evident in our lives. And we're going to truly, you know, be a good testimony to other people, even when we're not trying, you know, not really trying to be a testimony. Because half the testimony we have is the part where we don't even realize people are watching us anyways. They're looking at us, waiting for us to mess up. We might be doing everything right, but that one mistake could throw everything off. But I want to talk about joy and how we seek to get the joy of Christ in our lives. And I want to talk about today, like, how some people just, you know, they think, oh, I can't have the joy of Christ. You know, things are going on. You know, I've done too many things in the past. And, you know, and that's Satan. All it is Satan talking to them about or trying to remind them of all the things they've done in the past. But a saying at Crown, it was one of my favorites, is, "When Satan reminds you of your past, remind Satan of his future." And that's an awesome saying. It makes me excited just to think about that. You know, like, that's the past. We're not worried about the past anymore. We're worried about what's to come. And obviously, we know what's going to come, and we're going to be the winners. And Satan wants to ruin everything for us right now. Because if he ruins us now, then that past that we can, you know, throw him into later is not going to be near what it should be if we're living our lives for Christ. And then, you know, some people complain because they don't have the strength to be joyful. They don't have the will to just try to have joy in their hearts. And I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. And this was kind of my last year's verse for college. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. And it says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So we say we don't have the strength, but we trust, you know, Christ for many things, for everything, for our salvation mostly. But we can't trust him to give us strength to have a joyful heart or to live for him joyfully. And then I want to look at Nehemiah. Well, you don't have to turn there. Nehemiah 8:10, it says, oh, we better just turn that. I don't want to mess it up. Nehemiah 8:10. It's a very familiar, the last part of it's a very familiar verse, Nehemiah 8:10. And it says, the last part of it, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So everything that we do and everything that, you know, that would make the Lord happy in us and proud of us, that is our strength to continue. And the Lord gives us that strength to continue because of that's what we're here for. We're here to serve the Lord and to continue through and push through anything that might happen. He might allow us to go through trials and tribulations, but if we have that joy, we'll overcome with Christ's joy everything that is thrown at us. And I want to look at a couple reasons why we have joy. And if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at that. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then I want to look at verse 3 through 5. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's an exciting passage of Scripture just right there, just knowing that we're kept undefiled and by Almighty God's hand. We're sitting there in the palm of his hand. We're kept undefiled and incorruptible, and our reward for our faith in him, for that, that's what I think of salvation, is not going to ever fade away. It's always going to be there. We should have joy knowing that Christ saved our souls from the very pit of hell, and that we'll never have to go there. And that we can have joy in that, knowing that we'll never ever have to burn in a place called hell. And at the same time, that should make us think that we need to go and tell other people so they can have the same joy as us. But if we don't show the joy on our face, we don't wear a smile, if we don't go out and talk to people and really, really have the joy of the Lord evident in our lives, then they're not even going to worry about it. They're going to like, well, you live just like I do. You seem the same as I do. You walk around, you know, whatever. And I don't know about you guys, but when I go up to people and I go to shake their hand, it's hard not to smile because, you know, it's like you're seeing a friend and everything. And I'm sure it's the same for me. I mean, if you look at my face, it's really hard not to smile, Deborah. Anyways, but it's just, you just need to be happy in the Lord. And people will start wondering what's going on. And if you want to go to Psalms chapter 92, and this is for, you know, some older people think, well, I'm too weak, I can't do anything for the Lord anymore, you know, and they get discouraged. Well, we'll look at Psalm chapter 92 and verse 14 through 15, and it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. Anyways, 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. And that's exciting to know, you know, when you do grow up and you get older, or if we're already older, nobody's old in here, but if we're getting older, you know, the Lord's not done with us yet. We're still here for a reason. We can still serve him and be a great encouragement to the younger people. You know, an older lady that smiles at you is such an uplifting and encouraging experience, you know, to know that, you know, they've been through their whole life and they're still happy in the Lord, and I can do the same thing with his help. And then if you go to Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, and then we'll look at verse 13, and it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, it's, you know, Christ is just telling us we can have joy in him because he's already done the hard part for us. You know, he's already raised himself from the dead after the 3 days of the crucifixion, and we can just have joy knowing that we serve an almighty, powerful God, and that everything we do is for him and for a purpose. And look at Philippians 4:7. Go to Philippians 4:7. There's a lot of different verses. I just wanted to show all these to you because they're all encouraging. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it doesn't mention anything about joy in there, but just knowing the peace that passes all understanding is, you know, that's Christ right there standing by our side. And we might be going through the worst things, you know, the worst things the devil can throw at us, but God is all-powerful and of over and abundant what the devil can even throw at us. And he sits right by our sides if we have him in our hearts, which I hope everybody in here does. And if not, you should take care of that today. That's very important. But Christ is right there, and he gives us a peace in our hearts that passes all understanding. And, you know, you read that verse, and until you're away by yourself or something at college, and you just don't know what you're going to do, and you owe money for everything, and you got classes you need to pass, and you got to study for that, and you got to work to make the money to pay off the classes that you're failing. I never failed any, but I'm just trying to make it a little more, you know, higher up in the elevation scale of worriness and stuff. But but you're just like, you're failing classes, you got to pay for all the classes that you're failing. And, you know, God can still be there and give you that peace that passes all understanding, and he's just right there by your side. And then we'll look at Psalms chapter 16. We'll go back to Psalms again. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11, and it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So when I read that and I was studying that, I'm thinking, you know, if we're where God wants us to be right now, and we focus on God and God alone, he's going to give us that joy, and we'll have that joy until, you know, until forever, until the end of time, because we're where God wants us to be in our Christian life. We're where God wants to be, where, you know, and you know, wherever we are, we're just where God wants us to be. And nothing will ever affect us and tear us down, because God is going to be there for us all the time. And I want to, you know, it's sometimes people think that Christian life is not exciting, and it's kind of boring, and it's what we make it. It's really what we make it. If we go around, you know, just living everyday life and not even paying a mind or paying attention to what God has for our lives, it can be boring. We'll just, you know, sit around and we'll read our Bible because we have to. We'll pray because we have to, or even worse, we'll just pray when we need something. But, you know, God puts things in our lives that can be exciting, and that we can, you know, get over through with his help, and seeing him work in our lives is exciting. And sometimes, you know, the Lord puts trials in our lives to build us up. And if we have joy through those trials, we're going to come out of that trial so much more than we were before we were into it. And, you know, sometimes we do try to walk with a smile on our faces and stuff. But, you know, like, especially when door-to-door, I know this from Crown, you know, sometimes it's hard to wear a smile because you're tired, you're working hard. But, you know, you go to knock on those doors, you know, on the day that you're supposed to go, and you wear a smile, you know, you're doing it, but nothing's really happening, you know, nobody's really, you know, retaliating to what you're doing. But then you'll be going through the grocery store, and you'll just be, you know, minding your own business and kind of just trying to, you know, get some junk food or something, because we don't have mom to tell us what to get or whatever. But, you know, you're just getting some junk food or something, and you're going to check out, and you know you don't really think about wearing a smile when you're just checking out, because that's just the person that works there. But they're looking at you too, and they know you're from Crown College around there because of what we have to wear. And so we just need to wear that smile all the time, you know, be happy in the Lord. And sometimes we might not feel like it, and that's when we go back to, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We just need to pray and ask the Lord for that joy, and to really seek his face throughout the day, because there are hard times. But if we're happy, the Lord's going to bless us even more through our happiness and joy for him. And, you know, sometimes it people wonder, you know, when you get excited and when you're always happy and you're always happy in the Lord and you're always wearing that smile, people wonder, well, what's going on with that guy? Does he have a good job? Does he make a lot of money? Does he worry about anything? And, you know, sometimes they come up to you and they ask you, you know, well, what do you do for a living? Do you have any worries? You don't have any bills? And then that's when you get to look at them and smile. No, I have a job, but it's not really the best job, and I definitely have bills. And they're like, well, what do you have that makes you happy? And I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when you tell them that, you know, they kind of just look at you for a minute, and that's your opportunity to really show that joy that Christ has given you, and through that joy, Christ will give you souls in return to win. And that's just a huge encouragement. And that winning souls will even give you more joy on top of the joy that you've already asked the Lord for. And you know, sometimes we don't really think about it, but you know, salvation is a wonderful thing. And if that doesn't give you joy, I don't know what will. Because we have an almighty God that died on the cross for our sins. For, you know, a dirty, rotten sinner like me, I know I don't deserve it. I don't deserve any of the blessings He's given me. I don't deserve to be able to go to Crown College and to study things that He's given me to study, and to work towards being a youth director is what I feel He's called me to be. I don't deserve the chance to do that. But He gives it to me anyways, and that gives me joy. And then we see, you know, we witness, like I was telling you, it's witnessing is not just the door-to-door, it's a 24/7 job. We always need to be on the lookout for souls and for people that are dying and going to hell. And sometimes that's all it is. If we have that joy, and the people that are going through rough time and they don't have Christ as their Savior, that's all they're looking for is the joy. And they'll be willing to try anything. And then when you talk to them and you get them to go to church, and then they get saved and they have this feeling that comes about them that just overflows them, and they get that joy, and they can't even understand why, but they know it has to be Jesus Christ. And then, you know, that's another soldier added to God's army. And, you know, we just need to work on that. I think one of the main problems today in church is most Christians, like myself, sometimes we get overthrown with some things that bring us down. And when we're supposed to be a good testimony to other people, that's when we fail. And I think if we could just get this down, that we just get the joy in our hearts and live the joy out of our hearts and through our lives, that we could see America turn around today. And it would just be a great thing. And it takes a lot of prayer. It does take a lot of hard work. But the Lord will give us a happy spirit if we're doing it for the right reasons. And I just really hope you guys will pray with me about that. You know, we just need to work hard together and not really worry about what's going on around us and other things, but just focus on what God has for our lives at this moment in time. And, you know, the Bible says not to worry about tomorrow, for, you know, that God has everything in His control and in His power and plan. So I just urge you guys to really be praying. I know sometimes, you know, some of us can't get out of our houses and for health issues and health reasons, which that's understandable, but you can pray and pray hard and, you know, spend that time in your house and spend that time alone with the Lord, just, you know, just begging Him, you know, pleading with Him to use us, use this church. It's not too late for us. You know, we can turn this around. Well, we through Christ can turn this around still and really be praying about it and just seek the Lord's face. And I think we'll all be amazed at how this place will turn around if we just get the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And, you know, when we come to church, we just smile, and the visitors walk in, they just know something's different about this place. It's not just like every other church you just walk into and you kind of just go to you know, make yourself feel better. Like, oh, I went to church this week, you know, I feel better about it. But they'll want to come back because they'll think something's going on here. We're always so happy and smiling at each other. And, I mean, look at Brother Chris. He's so happy all the time. And so we just really need to work on that and just seek the Lord's face all the time in all that we do. And even Brother Chris can have a smile after that. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for everything You've given us, Lord. I pray that You just please help us to live this joy with our lives, Father, and help us to really to seek Your face, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, and just give us the joy, Lord. And I pray that souls would come to know You through us, Lord, and that this church would just be set on fire for You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, a hymn number 160. But